Welcome back in our podcast, Legal Ops Insiders, a podcast about everything related to legal operations aimed at heads of legal, general counsel, legal ops leaders, and everyone interested in improving or enabling legal service delivery. In this episode, we're going to elaborate on the question, how to start with legal ops. Questions you may easily ask to Jan Willem Prakker and to Linda Nieuwenhuizen, who have a lot of experience in this field. Topics we are probably going to touch upon are stakeholder management, how do you have to start, maturity assessment of your own legal department and your own legal operations, and where do you want to go, goal setting, how do you get senior level support, prioritization, and how does it relate to the legal counsel who provide the actual legal advice? Linda, tell us a little bit more about how to start with legal operations.
Yes, I think the main message is just start. And before you start with anything, you have to do some research and see where you are today, of course. So a legal ops maturity scan could be a good starting point. I think we discussed this extensively in one of the other episodes.
Yeah.
But also look into the different methodologies. So, for example, you have the Core 12 principles, you have the ACC, and make it your own. I think that is the biggest advice from my experience, because these are all theories and it's not one size fits all. So make it your own. Look at the theory and check what is the most important for you and how can you change the principles using those theory in your own company.
I think that's a very useful remark. You start with mentioning the CLOC 12 core principles and the ACC from the Association of Corporate Counsel, who have established vast best practices.
Yes.
And this is really overwhelming. At WeAgree, we are building a maturity assessment questionnaire, and we've gone in-depth through those documents, and it's very insightful. But making it your own, does it require that you go through that ACC document or CLOC best practices document? How do you see that? How did you do that?
I think it differs based on your background. I was a legal counsel myself, not very much familiar with legal operations at all, but I have an innovation mindset. I like tech, so that is a bit of an advantage I have, but I didn't know about what does legal operation means, what kind of topics are there in that playing field. So I read, for example, the Core 12, but I almost had to read it twice because I think some topics were confusing or a bit double. So that's what I mean with write it for your own. So make your own principles, and based on how your team works now, and that was an advantage from my side because I was a legal counsel in the team, I knew exactly how the team was working, and make a plan which fits to your organization. And I know this still sounds a bit fake, but we can make it more practical. For example, what we did is you have 12 principles in Core 12, and we made a program plan with 7 principles. And for example, cost management and external counsel management and all those more financial related topics, we merged into one main topic,
which makes sense.
Yeah. And how do you get this knowledge? I followed a training program, which was a very good and a big advantage when I started legal operations journey. That's the Law and Ops Academy, a real recommendation, but also a network. And that training program gave me a network, but also, you know, from maybe other work or from your colleagues as a legal counsel or the work you field you're working in, some people who are working on legal operation. And I think the nicest thing about legal operation, and that's also why I get really enthusiastic about it, people in legal operations are very much open to share their experience and are very energetic people. And that's also why they are in legal operations, because it's innovation, it's change, it's making things up. So you need to have a certain innovation, active, proactive mindset. And I talk to a lot of people, drink coffee, visit other companies, and I think that helped me a lot with creating a program. And also, don't make it too big, because a program is just a starting point and you don't have to make it for 5 years. Just make it for 1-2 years and adapt it over time. So
the cultural aspect of the innovative mindset that you're talking about. I recognize that very strong. It makes the link actually, or it's the justification for legal operations that we feel that we agree very strongly that it, from our perspective, it started historically with with the legal technology, and from there you have your challenges to how to implement it, how to connect it in the IT landscape, how to get people to adopt the solution, and then start building on a legal tech enabled environment. And of course, within legal tech, innovators, that's the mindset of a legal tech. So to me, it resonates a lot. It's sort of, you become the legal tech or the techie within a legal department. Is that...
Yeah, you can see it that way. And I also think, use the AI hype. And I think AI hype is a good point to lift on with your plan. For example, how are we going to insert AI in our daily work? So that is legal tech. Mm-hmm. So you can take that responsibility to research the different legal tech landscape and integrate it in your legal operations plan. And I think that's also a recommendation. You have to convince someone who's going to be your supporter or your cheerleader along the road.
Stakeholder management.
Yeah, stakeholder management, because indeed you need to have someone at the top who's supporting this.
Now, as a legal tech entrepreneur, we started well before the AI era. But another person who also started well before the AI era is Jan-Willem Prakke. And although artificial intelligence is, of course, a helpful driver for implementing and driving your legal ops plans to maturity, Jan-Willem, you have experience, and I think it's helpful digging into that as well. You have experience in building sort of from the old school technology. Tell us a little bit more about how about your experience in working towards legal operations.
Yeah, well, in that sense, legal operations is also not that new. I mean, the terminology is new. It's used now as a, also as maybe even as a hype, and AI is helping that. And actually, from my daily experience, I see actually that AI is triggering, really triggering everywhere discussions about legal operations, because that's also where AI has the most benefits probably. So you see in each legal department now thinking about their strategy, about their software, how to invest in software or in solutions. The first thing they will look at is, okay, but what is the link with AI and how do we use AI?
That's an easy leverage to
to
start with a legal tech. I mean, we see that, of course. We started with, we agree, we started with AI already some 5 years ago. But you have been supporting and advising legal departments already for a much longer period of time.
No. Yeah, so, and I always say start with what you already have.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what you already have, because probably you already have legal operations in place, but you just don't recognize them.
And then you're talking about...
that way. So the way you deal with your contracts, probably there is some process in how you deal with your contracts. And once they're signed, where are they stored? For example, digitally. I'm now talking about the digital world, although there are still organizations that also store contracts on paper. That still happens. But that's also a process. So there's a process for that. That's already where it starts. Just write down the process and then start at looking how to improve it.
And don't make it too difficult. Eh?
No.
Because that's indeed a process. Although it's archiving contracts in a physical safe, it's a process. Yeah. And that makes it easier also to change the process.
Exactly.
I'm very curious, Jan-Willem, because you also were working as a general counsel in the past.
Yep.
Did you already had some form of legal operations in your team by then, if you look back at that time?
Yep. So we had a paralegal who had this role, who was more geared towards operations. And again, we didn't call it legal operations, but that was what she was doing. So which software do we use? How do we use it? But also, what are legal counsels doing themselves, what they shouldn't do? Naturally, a legal counsel is a one-man band. And they're not even realizing, usually, within in-house, that they're doing all kinds of stuff that is really basic or really repetitive or really better be done by technology or by simple processes that you don't do yourself. But you have to really go back to the beginning. What am I doing all day? What are the tools that I use? So you have, of course, email. You have your SharePoint. You have a contract database.
Mm-hmm.
So start just by mapping that.
Yeah.
So very good. You start with the methodology, But right after that, you're going to plot what you already have.
That makes a lot of sense. What my feeling is, and that really also relates somehow to the mindset that Linda, you were talking about, legal ops resonates with probably more of a younger generation who's more inclined to kick off with legal tech, with technology generally, or with innovations, changing old ways of working and making it more appealing by taking out the boring work.
Yeah.
Now, going back to some down-to-earth questions, like I have a sort of the head of legal who has just a very basic early stage, if not even, contract lifecycle management solution. Contracts are managed from a spreadsheet. Now, personally, I would say, yes, artificial intelligence will help you a lot to get to an advanced stage contract lifecycle management. That's certainly true, because our AI, we see that in our solution, does accelerate that process. But if you dive a little bit deeper into setting up your contract management solution, you get to the groundwork, Jan Willem, that you do sort of all the time. Can you elaborate a little bit on that? Is it helpful to dive into it with AI, or would you say, no, sit back?
Now, first make your data in order before you start using AI, because you have to be sure that your data is correct, that you have good quality of data.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just organizing your contracts. I mean, that's where it starts with. Get them organized, get a process in place.
Mm-hmm.
On signatures, on templates, on standards, on things like that, authorizations, business intelligence. So is your business case, your core business, is that well embedded in your contracts that mm-hmm. you use? And then, and if you have that in place and you're ready to use AI, you can also start predicting things. You can also get very good management information basically from your contracts. And I think that is the most interesting part. Then you also, for a legal department to make a business case, to be able to make a business case to the organization.
But
let's use contracts in a certain way. Let's get organized. Let's get them in a central way of working. Good process. Everybody does the same. And then you really can start adding value.
Isn't that also a recommendation where to start?
Yes.
Make your data structured, because that
Absolutely.
Will help you with your plan on where to start the legal operations. Because if you have structured data, you can see where your opportunities are.
Yeah.
That's also a nice thing to add to doing research and create a network.
We will talk about contract lifecycle management solutions and mature contract lifecycle management in a separate episode. And I think really managing your data is not only responsibility of the legal department.
No.
Actually, if you get to advanced contract lifecycle management, I see that IT departments has a very strong say in this, because data is all across the organizations. If you only look outside the legal scope to marketing, communications, sales, after sales servicing, then you see developments like ERPs that are getting more intelligent,
yep.
CRM solutions that elevate to RevOps solutions, and then data become key, but you need to fit the CLM alongside this.
It's nice that you mentioned RevOps, which is really also a term of art, and it makes very much sense for an organization, but legal ops is basically the same, but then from the legal perspective. And it's really something the legal department should own.
Mm-hmm.
And make very clear to the whole organization that that is what you are, what you're for.
And with data, we talk about way more data than a CLM system, of course. When you talk about your finance data, so how much is litigation costing
yep.
me? How much files are we processing as a legal team on a weekly basis?
Excellent.
Where is this month the most work to do in which legal topic? So I think the data is also to manage your team. And I think for the current general counsel, that's very nice information to have, because you can also put your resources in or allocate your resources in the most efficient way as possible, which is also a topic of the clockwork.
Data management, and not only data management, metrics also. What are you going to metrics in performance-wise, in collecting the data and usage of the IT solutions that you make available? And that, I think, is appealing for at senior level. Now, Linda, can you talk a little bit more? You started with legal ops within KLM, and you had to deal with convincing leadership to dive into legal ops?
Yeah, we created, my colleague and I created a, let's say, pitch about what we think we could achieve in a year if we start with legal operations. And I get this question a lot, so I will mention it in this podcast, but how did we start? Because you have a role, eh? And we didn't have a dedicated role as legal ops professionals in our team.
Mm-hmm.
But we had the opportunity that we could focus for 50% of our time on legal operations for 6 months. And the other 50% was taken care of by someone else. And to see what could possibly bring legal operations bring to the organization. And in this period, we start, for example, with a survey to the business, a survey to the team. So how do you think the legal team is working and the team itself? What do you need? Do you think you have all the resources and tools you need to work efficiently?
Can you elaborate a little bit more on that survey or questionnaire? I mean, it touched upon the pillars of legal ops, like data, people, process.
Indeed. And we used the results of the survey to, at one hand, make a program plan. Okay, this is what the legal team says they need. This mm-hmm. is what the stakeholders say they need, because in the end, we are there to help this business to do their job as well.
So you ironed out the plan in 5 months' time, or 6 months' time?
Yeah, we made a plan. So based on the research, talking to other companies, going to events, making this podcast, of course.
Yeah, Willem, I mean, you get heads of legal on the phone who come with the question, I have to do something.
Yep.
And they probably don't tell you, I have some low-hanging fruit, but what is your first question?
Hey, they don't usually don't know that. Like, otherwise, they would have picked it.
So yeah, Willem, help me. I need you to set up our legal ops.
Yep.
What is your first question then?
What's your budget?
What is the question behind that? Is the question behind that is that do you want to start full blown with?
Actually, it's a very good question because it means that they have to think about the scope of what they want,
mm-hmm.
and that is often the problem. What is the scope?
Stage it. So,
yes, and is it, are you really talking about technology? Do you want to invest in technology to improve your processes, mm-hmm. or are you just willing to improve your process and maybe train your people?
And do you get a clear reply on this question? Because I think people
it differs.
Yeah.
It's very different. And you should ask additional questions to lead them in the right way and mm-hmm. then send a proposal to how I see it or what I think they need. Basically, I should always ask a lot of questions.
Yeah.
So what do you already have? How many people do you have? Who is responsible?
Essentially, you do a sort of maturity assessment on your first phone call.
Basically, it's the same. Yeah.
And you get there. And then you define sort of, not necessarily written out in answering a questionnaire, but you define a sort of where are you, early stage, maybe intermediate.
Exactly.
And then
I hear a lot of people say, I want to start with AI, and then I'm questioning, but what do you want to achieve with this AI?
Yeah.
And that is a bit how I can imagine that people give you a call, let's say, Jan Willem, I want to start with AI, but then you're
that, asking. Yeah, often they come with a very specific thing.
Yeah.
Or it's I want to organize my corporate housekeeping, finally. Very specific thing. And I think, what about the rest? Well, the rest is in order. The rest is all fine. So there my operations are perfectly in order. But I have a problem here. And I always challenge them to take the big picture, because if you want to organize your corporate housekeeping, it has a direct impact also on your contracts, because each legal entity has its contracts. How are you going to make the link between those two? And then people are tending to compartmentalize. Well, that's a different problem. You have to challenge them really to see the connection between all this and to get a basic understanding of what operations is and what it means for you in your specific situation.
Yeah, what I see the same, I mean, where we are now within we more elaborating on the field of what is legal ops and how do you achieve adoption of your technology that you're going to implement. But indeed, what we see very often, and especially in the early years, is we make a demonstration, then you further define what the specific needs are, you make an assessment of what the model contracts are that are on the shelf, which ones do you want to automate, do you want to start with an NDA tool, or do you go for a full-blown all contracts automated? The answer to that question, I think, varies really from company to company, within the company, also from department to department. I think it's important to start small, But I think you really need to sort of think two steps ahead of, is the supplier I'm going to work with, the vendor of the IT solution, or the technology, for example, do they have a roadmap that will match my needs by the time I arrive there? Well, and will they, at that moment in time, be there as well?
Well, I agree with you, but talking about roadmaps is already a big step for lawyers. So when I talk to a general counsel and talk about roadmaps, I'm saying, what do you mean? Are you going on a holiday? I mean,
when you built your plan, you actually had a sort of roadmap in mind. So like, first we're going to define the goals for this year, and then after the second year, we would like to be there, and then probably you get vaguer, but more...
Yeah, so based on the survey results, for example, we made a difference in urgency. So what should we do first? And based on that and all the topics we want to do, based on the results, but also based on where do we want to be as a team, and we want to be the best legal team possible, of course, we put all those topics in the plan and list them on a different level of urgency based on what are the objectives of the company overall, but what are also the requests of our stakeholders and the team. And I think... we had the opportunity to do it 50-50, which is nice because you still experience how the team is working, because it was also 50% working as a legal counsel. Disadvantage of that is that if there is an urgency, that always comes first. So then legal operations is quiet for a period. So my advice will be to, in the end, really propose that someone's going to have the role for legal operations. And as you can see in companies who are way more advanced in legal operations, such as ASML, they have a dedicated team. I know that more corporates have a dedicated team, but there are also big corporations such as KLM, such as Albert Heijn, who have just one person responsible for legal operations. And it is good to assign someone because it has a lot of different topics. If you look at legal tech, which we are discussing now, it takes a lot of time to get a tool implemented, to already get a tool contracted.
Selection,
get a tool through all the security processes, train the whole team, make the team excited, ensure that the old process we used before is transformed to the new process.
We see that all over the place. I mean, when we see that people come to us and then really there are spectacular use cases, absolutely, and spectacular outcomes when you start automating your contracts. But we see many or most of the legal departments who have one or two sort of ready-to-go templates, but that's only it. And they work on a day-to-day basis with 20 templates. And if it's more a global established company, then you have easily a sort of 200 templates. And how do you do that?
I think with legal operations, what you do, you take a step into the future. You really, as legal operations, you're forced to look ahead. So where am I now? Where do I want to go? And what do I need to go there to get there?
Yes.
So, and that is not what you do in your daily legal work.
No.
So if every legal counsel is just doing daily work, and maybe a case can take longer or the project can take longer, but that is what you do. But you're not looking at underlying the process, the tooling, the way you work into the future. So what do I need to do to get there? And that, I think that is where legal operations, that's why you need to have someone responsible for legal operations, because that's someone who's not involved in day-to-day business, but just looking... what is in the market? How does it work in our internal organization? What do I need from IT? And how do I get there?
And stakeholder management. What do I need from IT? Having a good relationship with IT is important to implement your legal tech. And also having a good relationship with finance helps you with getting the figures right. So some companies have more than one person responsible for legal operations. Some companies have, let's say, more than four people already responsible for external counsel management. I think that also shows that there is a lot what you can get out of it. So there's a big return on investment if you use a lot of external counsels to make people responsible for that.
That sounds like, I mean, stakeholder management is important to get the budget in place. Your connections with IT to basically do a whole bunch of work that you probably see is on your desk while they can solve it partly. But we're now, for Linda, talking about large companies with legal operations, and also the example you mentioned, Jan Willem, you also talk to really small companies where there is...
mid-size,
small with one legal counsel, and then you can't have a dedicated person for legal ops.
No, then they hire us, for example.
Okay, and apart from that,
that's always the problem. When you're the one-man band, you have to play every instrument. So also the legal ops instrument, and we are there to help you to focus and to make certain choices. And if you do that wisely, you don't have to worry too much about legal operations because you're a small company. Okay. But you have to make some good choices in what you use, how you use it, and also make sure the business can do things themselves. And that's also a big part of, especially with a one-man or two-man legal department, you want to do that the business can do self-service. So you have to provide them with the tools to do that and with the information.
Has the advantages to start in a small team? Because talked to someone who's general counsel and is working on their own in that company and is also taking the mindset of legal operation into account. And she can implement what she thinks is the right process. There is less politics. So if she wants to buy a tool, it goes way smoother. And of course, you need to make the time because if you're alone, there's a lot of work probably waiting for you. But the decision making and the implementation goes way quicker than in a big organization because you don't have to make a change management plan, for example. So it has the pros and cons, I think.
The effects much quicker. If you're by yourself, you see right away how it helps you.
Yes.
In a bigger team, that's also more difficult to measure that. But when you're on your own, you can really easily see the benefits.
What I find a very appealing thought in this altogether is, we are also hired, of course, to help our customers and you, Jan Willem, foremost. But what I find appealing is that you bring a case where you make yourself redundant quick.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And what are then the first three steps that you can do? So you come in, help with the solution.
Well, nobody has made me redundant. That is not the question that you get. But it's a good way to think that way. So what can I leave to others? What can I leave to automation so that I can really focus on where I'm here for, legal risk management and things like that. So organize yourself. That is basic. And prioritize.
I think that's a keyword for what legal ops is. It's the enablement of legal advice, the enablement of technology, of processes to run smoother, data to be organized significantly better, and delegate that to the people who are in charge of that.
And I think the big promise of technology is also that things will happen without you having to do it or to even to ask it. So you will get the data, you will get information without you having to look for it and ask for it. It will just be there with good quality.
Yeah, that's also an interesting thing. We see that also with Weavy. 20 years of development, we continuously follow the latest development, of course. And very often we have customers who have a question and then the technology has already taken care of this. Yeah. And then it's a matter of further opening up the box for them.
Yeah, and if we talk about the advantages of legal operations and why to start with legal operations, we mainly talk about cost savings, time savings, but I think an important topic as well, and it's also why I pitch for starting with legal ops, is that the team gets more fun in their work because all those administrative work or work they are doing the same contracts on a weekly basis can maybe be automated or we can find a solution to do it more efficient.
Yep.
And at the same time, also very important, you're preparing your workplace for the next generation. Because the next generation is not going to do all things manual when they are used to do it with technology in their studies. So,
but that's also with the model contracts and the clause library clauses. That's also what I've seen with many companies, that this is not in order and that they want to bring this in order, of course, that you're going to build a future-proof set of model contracts, set of clauses that you want to plug into the agreements. And that is, of course, also where you do need the older people's of the ground experience.
Of course.
Because they have the clauses. And unfortunately, without the technology, they have it in their inbox.
Yep. They know where to find it, usually.
And you also need to...
They know where to find it.
They know where to find it.
You also need a legal operations expert or someone to get them comfortable with the tooling.
Yeah.
Because what I also see is that it's not that people don't want to use certain tools, but sometimes people are scared to use certain tools. So it also takes time to train them and to get them comfortable and let them know that it's safe to work with certain tools. So I think if you have a bigger team, you need to have an approach for different generations in your team and different levels of.
I find that very appealing, and that you're saying it is very fascinating, because one of the biggest things in change management is to overcome resistance.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, if you dive into, and we're going to dedicate a separate episode to change management, but one of the most interesting thing in overcoming resistance is actually that resistance is not in the mind of the resisting people. They want to come. It's rather lack of clarity.
Yeah.
And if you look at it that way, resistance is actually a lack of clarity for the person, then you also know easier how to solve resistance, because that's by creating clarity. And by creating clarity, maybe an implementation issue rather than whether your solution is fit for it at all.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think we need to discuss this in the other episode.
Absolutely,
because,
yeah.
On change management, I think we can talk an hour easily. And there are a lot of different theories, but also sometimes how it goes in practice is not in line with the theory, I think. But yeah, we will discuss that in another episode.
And if you talk about how to start with legal operations we're talking about today, it's important to mention that resistance will be there. And
absolutely,
it's very important to address that in a very early stage.
I think we will, adoption, overcoming resistance is a topic of its own.
Yeah.
I think that should be really part of your assessment. And in any event, to getting to a high maturity level is a key thing. We're getting to the end of this episode, I feel. Lots of stuff to think about. Hopefully the audience is like that. If you have some thoughts about what we just discussed in this episode, feel free to contact us or to drop a line. We post the episodes or announce them on social media. I really like to see the discussion. If you feel that we missed an item or that we didn't address some part of legal ops that is part of the question how to start with legal operations, then let us know.
If you have topics that you want to be addressed by us.
Yeah, to elaborate on a certain topic.
Yeah.
Or share experiences, feel free to send a message.
Thank you for listening and hope to hear you back in the next episode. Cheers. Yeah.